On the virtual Bible study tonight, we want to talk about raising children to be servants of God.
I think it's really important, Jacob, as parents today have an incredible challenge before them, made harder, I think, every day by things that are happening in our world and different challenges that Satan is using to throw before parents. So we just want to talk about some things that might help parents, some suggestions that parents might follow to help raise their kids in a godly fashion.
We're not going to get through this tonight.
Maybe not.
But we need to talk about it. Suggestions for rearing godly children on the virtual Bible study coming up next.
It's time for this week's edition of the Virtual Bible Study. The Virtual Bible Study is a live, internet-only call-in program dedicated to the honest study and discussion of God's Word. Do you have a question about something in the Bible, or are you simply interested in learning more about the Scriptures? If so, we hope you'll stay tuned tonight as we look into the pages of God's Word. The Virtual Bible Study is brought to you this time each week by the College View Church of Christ in Columbia, Tennessee. You can participate in the discussion tonight by calling 931-381-4567 or by emailing your questions or comments from collegeview.com. We hope you'll take out your Bibles and study along with us as we begin an exciting study of God's Word on this edition of the Virtual Bible Study.
And this is the Virtual Bible Study for Thursday, August 17th, 2017. Thank you for joining us on the program tonight. My name is Jacob Gwynn. My father, Greg Gwynn, is here. Hello, Dad.
Jacob, great to be with you tonight.
Good to be with you. Josh McCord is behind the controls. Josh, welcome to the program.
Good to be here. Thanks for having me.
Glad to have you here. Look forward to hearing from you tonight on the program. Look forward to hearing from you at 877-381-4567. That number's toll free. Love to hear from you. Questions at collegeview.com is the email address to use. And the chat rooms, wherever you may be viewing us tonight, are the most immediate way for your comments to be heard. And we can share those with other listeners. You can comment with other listeners and have discussions in the chat rooms as we talk about this important subject tonight.
Jacob, you know, lots of us have been blessed to have children right here at the local congregation in Columbia. We have lots of little kids, and we think it's a great blessing to have lots of children around. But that also means a huge responsibility associated with that. Very simply, Ephesians 6, verse 4, fathers are commanded to bring up their children in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. It's not an option. You had kids, you wanted kids, you got kids, now you got a job to do, and it's a big job, and it's a really important job. And there's a window of opportunity to use in raising your kids. You're not going to be able to say, I'll put that off for 20 years, and when my work slows down, maybe I get closer to retirement, I'll have a little more time, and I'll pay attention to my kids then. That doesn't work, obviously. And so you got a big job, you got a limited time to do it, and parents really need to be consciously addressing their responsibility to raise their children.
All right. And lots of opportunities in the world we live in to neglect those responsibilities. And so a good topic for discussion tonight. Lots of kids here. And Lord willing, a few weeks from now, Josh was not going to be able to join us as much. Josh has got one on the way. So, Josh, I imagine you're going to be absent from the program for a while as you are home rocking the baby.
Right, we'll listen from home.
Okay, if you can, over the crying, you may not be able to hear.
We'll do our best.
All right, do your best. And I'm planning on doing a lot of listening tonight because I need to hear a lot of these suggestions.
Well,
myself.
I think we will want to make a disclaimer right up front that none of us are representing ourselves as perfect parents or as experts in child rearing. But the Scripture does give instruction. That's what we want to emphasize. Hopefully we won't spend a lot of time talking about our opinions and think so's, because if we do that, somebody can say, well, my opinion about child rearing is as good as your opinion about child rearing. And that would be true if we're just talking about it from a human philosophy standpoint. But the Scriptures have important instructions. One of the things that I've heard people say, you know, so here's a parent and they've got good kids, they grew up to be Christians, and they're faithful in the Lord's church. And someone said, boy, you're really lucky. You're really lucky that your kids turned out good. And I think that's the biggest mistake to say that you possibly could make. If children turn out well, it's not luck. It's the product of a lot of prayerful effort on the part of parents. And so, you know, it's not, well, you were lucky, I wasn't lucky. Your kids are good, my kids are bad, but it's just the luck of the draw. That's really not true. And I think we should disavow that notion altogether.
All right. We want to hear from you on the program tonight. If you have kids, what are some things that have helped you? If you or your kids are grown, what advice would you give to younger parents tonight? Opportunities for you to comment on the program tonight, and we'd love to hear from you. Again, in the chat room is the best way for your voice to be heard if you don't want to talk, but the best way, and the one that we appreciate the most, is if you give us a call toll-free at 877-381-4567 on the virtual Bible study tonight.
Jacob, I came across, we're going to use as a basis for our discussion tonight, a bulletin article that I came across several months ago, and I don't even know the author's name. I can't even attribute it to the guy who wrote it, but I thought it was really good information and sort of a springboard for our discussion tonight. This, he's got 10 suggestions for rearing your children for Christ. I'm sure you could add 10 more, 20 more, 100 more suggestions, but we're going to deal with these 10. And I think it's a pretty broad base that will give us a lot of things to talk about. But notice suggestions for rearing godly children or suggestions for rearing your children for Christ. That's got to be our goal. That's got to be what we're most interested
about.
Number
one priority.
You know, it should not be, well, I want to raise my kids and make sure that when they're adults, they have good, high-paying jobs, you know, upper middle class kind of living standard. Or I want them to be successful in the business world. I want them to make a lot of money. I want my children to be popular, you know, have lots of friends and all those. Those can't be our priorities. Our priorities have to be to raise our children to be God-fearing people.
The problem is it's very easy for those priorities to shift and begin the career or the athletics. I want them to excel in athletics, or I want them to, you know, have a great social life. Those kind of things can, they pop up and they can easily steer our focus away from the number one priority.
Yeah, I think we'll probably have a lot of places to talk about this, but, you know, the chances that I'm going to have a kid who grow up to play Major League Baseball is almost incalculably small. There's almost no chance that a kid would grow up, because you think of all the kids who, for instance, play Little League Baseball or other equivalents of that. Of all the kids who play Little League Ball, how many of them you think are going to make the majors?
Yeah.
Effectively, none of them. Zero.
Yeah.
But you see parents who compromise spiritual things in order to get their kids into the Little League ball games and tournaments and so forth. It seems to me like it's so crazily misplaced, but like you said, it's the problem of letting our priorities become skewed and sort of losing focus.
Misplaced and misdirected, and it's not just limited to children. It's every aspect of our life we can get our priorities out of whack, but especially this important topic.
Earlier today, we sent out these 10 suggestions that we want to talk about tonight. We send them out to our update list and give you a chance to be thinking about that ahead of time. We got an email back from our friend Chris in Atlanta.
Haven't heard from Chris
in a long time. Chris,
thanks for emailing, Chris.
Yeah,
great. Hope you're still running and listening to us on your runs.
Yeah.
We're glad to hear from you, Chris.
And we'd be glad to get an email from you or talk to us in the chat room, give us a phone call. But you would have gotten this update earlier today if you were on our update mailing list.
How do I get on that list?
Send us an email to questions@collegeview.com.
What do I put in the subject?
In the subject line, say, add me to the list.
I think I got it.
We talk about that every week, but we want to keep people advised how you can get in. Send us an email to that email, too, if you have a question, something you'd like to hear discussed on the virtual Bible study.
Right.
We've not been getting as many requests that way as we typically do. Because every so often we like to have sort of what we call a smorgasbord program, and we haven't had one in a while. But we need you to send us some suggestions of things you'd like to hear discussed
on
the virtual.
Maybe you already think you know the answer. Not you don't have to be like, oh, I need somebody to tell me the answers. Maybe you already know the answer. Why not send it in? It would be a good maybe topic for that program. And those are some of the most enjoyable ones where we have lots of, well, for those of us with short attention spans, we don't have to stay on one subject for long. So send in your topics, and maybe it's one that we can use a whole program on, so send it in.
So let's just start down through this list and see where it takes us. Josh, we're expecting you to chill along. And a lot of these will pertain to you as a new father here in about a month or
Josh
6 weeks.
Josh has already got all, he's got all the answers right now because he hasn't had a kid.
Yeah, we should probably let Josh do this because he doesn't have kids yet, and therefore he knows all the answers.
He has all the answers. That's
after his kid comes along, he'll start realizing, wait a minute.
I'm here to observe and learn.
Okay. All right. But a lot of these will pertain to you, Josh, here in just a few weeks. Number one, begin regular spiritual training now and continue through all their developing years. Proverbs 22:16 says, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it.
Yes.
Proverbs are Proverbs. They're they're generally true statements. Yeah. There can be exceptions to them. They're not always true, but I always illustrate that by the proverb that says, he who findeth a wife findeth a good thing. Well, that's generally true, but I've known some guys who found a wife and found something really bad, and they've had horrible trouble in their life. So that's just an illustration of the point. But the general principle is there in Proverbs 22:16, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. But what it tells us is you got to use that window of opportunity.
Right.
You got to be busy when you can. Have you ever heard people say, well, I'm not going to cram religion down my kid's throat. I'm going to wait till they're old enough to decide for themselves. And so they don't give their children any religious training in the formative years.
Right.
And then they expect that they're going to be able to, when they reach a point where they think they're mature to make their own decision, you think they're going to change or be interested in spiritual things when you gave them no training in that regard. It's just ridiculous.
Yep.
I'm going to wait to teach my kids to brush their teeth until they're old enough to decide for themselves. I'm going to wait to teach my children personal hygiene, bathing. I'm not going to bathe them, and I'm not going to ask them to bathe until they're old enough to decide whether they want to or not.
Or the alphabet, the reading.
I'm not going to make them read because now they may decide they don't want to read. I'm going to wait till they're old enough
to resent me for making them read at a young age.
I don't want to cram school down their throat. I don't want to, and so I'm not going to teach them. I mean, the illustrations abound, but it's so ridiculous. Nobody would think that in any of those other realms. Why would you think that about religion?
In fact, you know, a lot of people today are trying to teach their kids these things that would, you know, waited till school. You know, they're teaching them before they even get to excel in their reading and their
vocabulary. A lot of kids are going to kindergarten, they already read.
Because parents want them to excel, so they're starting them early. Well, why wouldn't we do the same thing with spiritual matters?
Exactly right. And so, again, early, Josh, when your baby comes, you need to start making your plans. How are you going to teach this baby spiritual things? Because it starts right then.
Can't wait. Dwight in the chat room says, we need to teach our children starting at an early age. We also need to teach them as they get old first in all aspects of life. Too many young people start living their lives for themselves and not for God.
Yeah, and you're right, Dwight. And then it's hard to pull them back from that at a later time. Right. Not that it couldn't happen, but it's sure a lot harder.
Yeah, and then Chris from Atlanta says he couldn't agree more. Young children are sponges, and they will absorb good habits so much easier than later on. And they certainly are sponges. Anyone with kids will tell you that the young kids they're learning things that you can't even imagine they would be paying attention to.
You know, and this is not Bible. It confirms the Bible. Child psychologists tell us that those first 3 years, especially of a child's life, those are incredibly formative times in the way a child thinks and acts that will last for a lifetime. And so that's not to say that a person who wasn't taught when they were a child, wasn't taught godly things, couldn't learn them and make a decision for God later. We believe that that's definitely possible, and we know lots of examples of people who did. But why would you want to take that chance with your child? Why would you? I'm just going to wait and let them decide for themselves. Because then, the odds of that happening are really small.
877-381-4567. Questions@collegeview.com. We're talking about suggestions for rearing godly children tonight on the program. We're going to get a break and get your thoughts. Don't go anywhere. The virtual Bible study continues.
Have you checked out all of the resources on collegeview.com lately? Check it out now while you listen to these important messages. The virtual Bible study will be right back after this.
Hi, I'm Wade Shelton. In 1 Peter 3:15, the scripture says, "But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asks you a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. You see, we believe here at College View that we should be ready always to give an answer to every man that asks us. And I believe that we are dedicated to this cause. That's why we here at College View bring you the virtual Bible study each week. Our hope is that you will join us each week here on the virtual Bible study in hopes of strengthening your faith so that you will be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of the hope that is in you. Please join us here every Thursday night on the virtual Bible study. I know that it's worth an hour of your time.
Here's some quotes worth pondering. Words are windows to the heart. Reprove a friend in secret, but praise him openly. The highest reward for a man's toil is not what he gets for it, but what he becomes by it. Think right, act right. It's what you think and do that makes you what you are. Man, wish I'd said that.
Quit checking your email. The commercials are over and the virtual Bible study is ready to roll. Take it away, guys.
Back on the program tonight as we talk about rearing godly children and suggestions for accomplishing this important task and how important it is and how quickly we can lose focus on it. And this hopefully tonight will cause us to have a renewed interest and focus on our important task of parenting.
Again, we're following suggestions for rearing your children for Christ, a bulletin article we came across several months ago. Don't even know the author, but we think he's hit on some key points.
Yeah, whoever he is, did a great job.
Number two, clearly demonstrate to them at all times that God is the most important thing in your life by never allowing other things to interfere with the worship and work of the Lord. The article gave a reference of Matthew 6:33, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness.
Right.
And we use that verse so much because it is a verse that talks about keeping priorities in place. But this is especially to demonstrate to them. Now, I should be demonstrating to others, to my brothers and sisters in the local congregation, to my neighbors, and my people I associate with in the community. I should be demonstrating to them that God is the most important thing in my life. We all fail in that from time to time, but we should be trying our very best to make other people who know us understand that about us. I'm going to tell you something. There's nobody that needs that influence more than our kids.
Mm-hmm.
And there's nobody who will see inconsistency in us more clearly than our kids will see. So here, I'm going to be at every church service. I want to be at every Bible study, and I do that, and I do that, and I do that, and I do it 100 times in a row. 100 times in a row. I hadn't missed an assembly. In the last 100 assemblies that came around, I was there for every one of them. But tonight, tonight's the All-Star game in the Little League, and my boy is the starting pitcher. He's the star. If he doesn't go, it's going to really be bad. They may not win because they count on him to be the star pitcher tonight. Just once, we've been to church for the last 100 times in a row. Tonight, just once, we're going to skip church and go to the Little League game.
Yeah.
That one exception proved more to that kid than all the 100 times before that you were there.
Yep.
And that's what we're saying here. You have got to demonstrate to them, and you can't make exceptions. We're going on vacation. We're going to skip church this time on vacation. You name it, whatever it is. The kids will learn from those exceptions you make quicker, faster, more effectively than all of the other things that you do. And so what we're saying here is that consistency, real consistency, is an important key.
Not just in attendance, in every aspect of our lives. Yeah. We're going to make an exception and go watch that dirty movie because it's supposed to be really funny.
Yeah.
Or we're going to go do this place that we wouldn't normally go because, well, these extenuating circumstances. No, we've got to have a hard line and be consistent in every aspect of our life.
Josh?
Yeah, I was thinking of maybe the opposite side of this, a time when I was young when my dad was called in to work on a Sunday afternoon. He worked maintenance and a press had broke down at work, so he was called in, and I was outside playing in the yard, and he came home at 5:25. We typically had to leave at 5:30 in order to make Sunday even services. I was probably 7 or 8. I thought, man, we're not going to have to go. I was having fun. He said, no, get ready. We're going. Even if we show up late, we're gonna make it there. And so that stood out to me more than if we would have not gone. He said, well, we might be a few minutes late. We'll just not go. That stood out to me more. And so Matthew 6:33, seek ye first. The first things first, you know, we might have been a few minutes late, but we're going to make it there. Yeah. So that stood out to me. Yeah.
And that consistent pattern will register with kids a lot. When they see you even going to extra effort to be there, when it'd be easier to not go to the trouble, those teach powerful lessons, and they learn them at an early age, and we got to be consistent.
And Josh, you know, one thing we need to work on is our language with our kids too. As a kid, you thought we don't have to go. Mm-hmm. And mm-hmm. when the kids say we have to go to, no, we get to go to
we
church.
Get to go.
And
yeah.
when it's not a drudgery or an obligation, we need to show them that we're excited yeah. about serving
yeah.
the Lord.
Exactly right.
All right.
All right. What does Chris say there in his email?
Chris says, it saddens me when I see parents allow worldly things to keep them from worship. I know a few couples that either the husband or wife will take one of the kids to a softball game during Sunday morning worship. They try to justify it by saying it is okay because they were back at evening service. What a terrible example and message to send to our children that softball takes priority over worship.
Yeah.
Well, it does.
Yeah.
That's the facts of the matter. You just said it did, and you told your kids that.
Yeah.
And they're going to remember that when they get older.
Yeah.
And, yeah, okay.
Dwight in the chat room says, our children are the most important thing we have in this world. We do so many physical things for them. We need to equalize that with spiritual things. Maybe even make it so much more important than the physical things. You know, not just equalize, but actually emphasize the spiritual thing. I think you're right, Dwight.
And back to your sports analogy, and Chris touches on it here as well. You said at the beginning of the program, probably no one listening here is going to have a child that makes it to the major leagues or even makes it to maybe high school or college level. But there are certainly values and benefits of athletics and other activities such as that. But we need to understand that we're in it not for hitting it big in the big leagues, but we're in it for what the lessons the kids can learn. That's why we put them into the sports or the other activities, is because we want them to develop and learn lessons. Well, there's a lesson. That's why you have them in ball. One of the reasons you have it so you can teach them the lesson of priorities.
Yeah.
And so don't miss on the opportunity.
One time I got criticized by someone. It was actually about you, Jacob. You were in Little League Baseball, and they had a Wednesday night game. In fact, the game, several times games ended up on Wednesday night. So I would go with the rest of the family, get ready to go at normal times to church. I would stay with you at the ballpark until the very last minute. I'd snatch you out of the game. You'd change clothes in the back seat of the car, and we'd get to church on time. Somebody said, you shouldn't do that. You shouldn't even go. I mean, I suppose there's a judgment call there, but I think that was teaching a lesson. We'll play ball when we can. We'll play ball as much as we can, but when it's time to go to church, we're going to go to church. Right. We've got to be consistent.
Right, right. That's right. And it was a very valuable lesson.
All right. Look, we're going to have to hurry, Jacob.
Oh, boy. Okay, let's go.
Get done. Number three. Let their early memories include daily readings of the Bible stories and Bible discussions in the family circle. And the author of this references, I think, a powerful example for us. In 2 Timothy chapter 3, the Apostle Paul makes reference to Timothy's mother and grandmother. Let me get my pages to turn for me. 2 Timothy 3, verse 15, he says, verse 14, continue thou in the things that which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them, and that from a child thou hast known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. Timothy, you'd be hard-pressed to think of a more exemplary Christian referenced in the New Testament than Timothy. He was outstanding.
And no one else like-minded as the young man, Timothy.
Yeah, he said, I have no one like-minded. Let's see, where is that? But his mother, Paul says in 2 Timothy 1, verse 5, I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee, which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois and in thy mother Eunice, and I am persuaded that in thee also. So, you know, here's Timothy. He turns out to be just a fabulous, young, energetic, evangelistic Christian. Did that just happen by chance? No, he was taught from a child.
Yeah.
And that's what we've got to do. And so, When our kids think back, they should think about spiritual activities that we engaged in. Not only Bible studies at home, but maybe attending gospel meetings,
right.
Doing special things, of acts of service and so forth. But the kids need to think back as far back. You know, I don't know. I'm sure it's different with every person, but how old is a person? How far back can you go in your mind and remember? How old were you when you have your first recallable memories? Well, I don't know. You know, I don't remember a whole lot when I was 5 or 6, 8, 10. But I tell you, those instilling those things, and you wouldn't wait till you're 7 or 8 to start instilling those principles in kids.
All right. Let us know your thoughts. 877-381-4567. Chris has great advice. I know a couple that has done this with their child from the beginning. Now, at only 4 years old, she already references Bible stories to her parents and others. And again, talk about, Chris mentioned them being sponges, and we need to make sure we're setting aside. The problem with our society is there's so many distractions. There's so many things.
I think that's one of the things that makes it a greater challenge for parents today. My generation was the first generation to grow up with TV. I can actually remember when we got our first TV. That was one of my early childhood memories because I was pretty young. But I remember the first TV. And so people older than me, they never had that distraction. Parents were raising kids without the distraction of TV, the internet, and all of that, cell phones, smartphones. Now all those distractions are there. That's just making parenting harder.
Absolutely.
And so we've got to be on guard.
All right. Folks aren't having to go out and work in the fields to make the, you know, get enough to eat. They're not having to go wash their laundry in the creek. There's so many time-saving pleasures that we enjoy in the society we live in, but where's all the time gone? Are you running nonstop until it's time to fall over in bed? Or are you setting aside time to study the Lord's Word together with your children? James says, what is one of the reasons that God regarded Abraham so highly and chose through him to bring the Christ? He references Genesis 18, verse 19, for I have chosen him so that he may command his children and his household after him to keep the way of the Lord by doing righteousness and justice, so that the Lord may bring upon Abraham what he has spoken about him. God knew Abraham's character, and it was one of instructing his children.
Exactly right.
And in fact, we're told in Deuteronomy that that is a task that that God expected of his people in those days. They were to be teaching their kids as they were going about their daily lives. And I'm afraid that we are falling down on that many times.
Yeah, I think you're referencing Deuteronomy 6,
verse
7.
Yep, these words I command you today shall be in your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your children and talk of them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, when you lie down, and when you rise up. Now, they were going about, their lives may have been structured a little bit different than ours, but we have the same opportunities. When you sit in your house, we sit in our house. Are we watching?
Well, what we usually just sit around the house is watch TV or play on the computer or smartphone, and we don't talk to each other. We don't communicate.
So we're missing out there. Yeah. When you walk in the way, we don't do a lot of walking, but we do a lot of riding in the way. We're in the car a lot in this society.
Right? And now the kids can watch their videos in the car.
Or have the radio on.
Yeah.
How about turning it all off and talk?
Yeah.
You got a captive audience there. Your subject, your students are at your disposal. Be talking about them while you're in the car. When you lie down and when you rise up, every aspect of our life, we ought to be looking for opportunities to speak about God and His will to our children.
Yeah. And then this is actually the point we're talking about. Point four, give them their own Bible even before they can read. Read to them from it at home. Have them take it to church services. In their preschool years, have them begin a lifetime habit of regular memorization and review of important Bible verses. Psalm 119. Verse 11. I'm having trouble with my pages. It must be the humidity tonight. Psalm 119, verse 11. Thy word have I hid in mine heart, that I might not sin against thee.
Yep.
And verse 16 says, I will delight myself in thy statutes. I will not forget thy word.
Yep.
That's what we want our kids. That's what we want for our kids.
And, yep.
And it needs to be more than just what we get at Bible classes at church services, too. And I think that's hard for parents because there's so much demand on their time. But we need to spend some time every day, and not just when we're rushing to church services, have them scribble, fill in the blanks in the car on the way to church services.
If it's just happening at church services 2 times a week, Josh, you're a teacher. I teach here, and you do as well, Dad. If it's just happening at services, it isn't going to work. You might as well just hang it up. It's not.
I got to tell you, when you do teach the kids classes, it is pretty disappointing how often you find out that they have not looked at their lessons and they haven't prepared them.
It becomes
pretty obvious in the comments they make and some of the things they say that they have not been preparing for class. And if they're not preparing for Bible class, how much other Bible study do you think they're doing, Josh?
Probably not a lot.
Yeah, I don't think so. Yeah.
All right.
All right, we need to grab a break, Jacob, and then we're going to hurry on when we get back.
All right, we're going to talk when we get back about some more suggestions for rearing godly children and lots to talk about. Don't go anywhere. We'll be back right after this.
Now you can listen to a podcast of a recent sermon every week. Find out more at collegeview.com. There's more of the virtual Bible study right after these important messages.
This is Greg Wynn with this week's bullet point. There seems to be a lot of confusion in the Lord's body concerning the grace of God. We believe that a lot of error has been taught on this subject. It was reported that a preacher made the following statement, quote, "We are not saved by the right stance on any doctrinal issue, but rather by the grace of God." Do you get it? He's saying that it doesn't matter what you believe or practice on any biblical subject, God's grace covers all. We deny it. We've often said that grace is the unmerited or unearned favor and love of God. That seems to be a fair and accurate definition. Now let's be sure we understand it. Consider this example. I make the following offers to two individuals. Number one, wash my car and I'll pay you $5. Number two, come to my house, I'll give you $5. Is there any difference here? Of course there is. If you don't think so, just ask the first guy who had to wash the car to earn his $5. But fella number two received a gift. The first fella received pay for meritorious work. The second fella receives a gift on the basis of meeting a simple condition, come to my house. Number two does nothing to deserve his $5. It is a gift, but he must meet the conditions to receive it. Salvation is the product of God's grace. There's nothing you can do to earn it, Ephesians 2, 8 and 9. However, there are conditions you must meet in order to receive it, Romans 10, 9 and 10, Acts 2, verse 38, and so forth. So then, yes, you must be right in matters of doctrine in order to be saved. These doctrinal matters are God's conditions in order to receive his gift. It's still a gift, not earned. Salvation is by God's grace. That's this week's bullet point. Think about it.
Hi, my name is Hunter. I'm 11 years old, and I love listening to the virtual Bible study.
Missed a recent virtual Bible study program? Listen to any of our past programs from the archive section of our website. Now, back to the virtual Bible study.
Back on the program tonight, and we want to remind you this program is brought to you by the College of Church of Christ in Columbia, Tennessee. Our website, thevirtualbiblestudy.com. Check it out. And send us your questions or comments at any time to questions@collegeview.com. We're talking about suggestions for rearing godly children tonight.
Dwight in the chat room says, I always like using spiritual songs in the car versus worldly music. My kids loved it when we all sang these songs together. Spiritual music helped bring my family closer to God.
Excellent comment, Dwight. And my wife sort of stumbled upon something about those songs and using them as for the memory verses. She's found songs, verses that are set to song, and the kids just they learn them immediately.
Yeah, there's something about our minds that are attuned to. Music does hit a chord, I guess you could say.
Well, I was giving the girls a bath the night before I came here, and they were singing, "All have sinned and come short of the glory of God," Romans 3:23. They were singing this in the bathtub. I mean, it works. You ought to find out about it. So, all right.
James in the chat room says, we need significant, devoted, daily time with our children doing spiritual things, singing, praying, reading the scriptures, memorizing God's word, actively thinking about and doing things for others in need. They must know it is the most important thing in our lives, so it will influence them to make it important to them. I think it's exactly right, James. Exactly right.
Okay.
And Chris said Psalm 119 and the beautiful way it instructs us to view God's word. We all, young and old, need to have a Psalm 119 heart.
Amen to that, Chris.
I agree
Thank
with
you.
That, too. Exactly right. Right.
Okay.
All right. Let's go quickly. Some of this is repetitive, and we just talked about praying with them, but number five on this suggestion list, teach them to pray by having them repeat after you phrase by phrase. Pray audibly with them daily. Passages like Ephesians 6, verse 18 tell us to pray always with all prayer and supplication. Of course, it warns don't teach them memorized prayers, but teach them to pray by praying with them and praying audibly with them. And it is really an encouraging thing to see little ones who want to pray. They want to pray when they go to bed. They want to pray before they eat a meal. They've been taught. That shows training, and it's an important thing.
All right. We want to hear your thoughts. Again, in the chat room, let us know.
Okay. All right.
No comments there, Josh?
Still observing.
Still observing. Okay.
All right. Let's go to number six. Speak often of the joys of serving God. Philippians 4:4 says, rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice. Sing songs together about this joy. Instill in them a longing to go to heaven. I really like that point because I have experienced some situations where I think people did really badly in that regard. I've used these folks a lot of times as an illustration. Years ago, when I first began preaching, there was a family in the church that were some of the most negative people I ever knew about the church. It was a big family. It was grandparents and several children and their children, grandchildren. And this family all got together, literally every Sunday after Sunday morning services, they went to the grandparents' house for an ate together. Every Sunday. I know that. I was there sometimes. I was invited to be a part of that.
Was food good?
They were really good cooks.
Okay.
Well, yeah.
How was the company?
But the company was depressing because they spent all their time complaining about the church and the people in it. I mean, they were very negative and harsh and judgmental, and they spoke of those things in front of those grandchildren.
Mm-hmm.
There were a lot of grandkids, and you know what? None of those grandkids grew up to obey the gospel, become Christians. I wonder why. Well, all they heard through all their growing up years was how horrible the church was and how bad the people in the church were. And why would you want to be a part of that?
Right.
And they didn't. And they grew up and never obeyed the gospel. And that's just a sad example of what can happen. We need to be joyful about our salvation. Let our children know that. Teach them to be joyful about the things of God.
All right. All right. Certainly, we need to. It needs to be something that they see as us being fully devoted to and enjoying, and realizing the blessing of.
You said earlier, Jacob. You know that expression. Every kid does it, I suppose. Do we have to go to church?
Right.
And that's a great time to tell. Well, we get to go to church.
Right.
It's a blessing. We love it. We want to be there. What would we rather do?
Yeah. All right. Let us know what you think. Add your comments in the chat rooms tonight, or give us a call. We'd love to hear from those. Maybe those who already have the children gone out of the house. Maybe some things you do different, some things that worked and were successful. 877-381-4567. Time to take your thoughts tonight.
Chris sent us an email, and he says there on number six, he says, when the author says to speak often of the joys of serving God, I would think that the most important focus would be showing them by doing. And when you are serving, don't complain about it, else you are teaching the wrong lesson about serving. Reinforce the lesson by speaking of it, but show more action. I think that's good. Again, they're going to learn by observing a lot more effectively than they are by words.
All right. All right.
That's right.
Yep. And make it a fun time to with the kids. You know, it's a family time. It's something that we enjoy doing, serving the Lord and instilling in them the longing to go to heaven. All right.
All right. Number seven. We're moving along here. Number seven in this list of 10 suggestions. Obviously, these are not all inclusive suggestions, and you could probably can come up with lots of suggestions, more suggestions, add them to the list, but I like number seven a lot. Spend the necessary time to be the main spiritual teacher of your children, more than the preacher or teacher in Bible class. And again, back to Ephesians 6:4, fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Fathers, it's your job. I don't want to be recalling too many past memories as examples, but I knew a family once. They had only one child. Now, this family violated, I think, probably all the suggestions that we've already mentioned, and they weren't regular in attendance. They were not a strong spiritual family at all. And when their boy became a teenager, he showed absolutely no interest whatsoever in spiritual things. I mean, none, zero. And the father actually said to me, I'll never forget it. He said, you know, the elders better do something pretty fast or they're going to lose that boy. I just wanted to, you know, my mouth dropped open. This father was doing nothing to raise his child, but he was blaming the elders of the church that they hadn't done. You know, they got to do something pretty quick or they're going to lose him altogether. Well, the elders of the church, the preacher in the church, the Bible class teachers in church, those are all good adjuncts to me as a parent to get this job done. But the job is mine. And if it doesn't get done, the blame lays right here, not with, you know, what happened at church.
Right.
Yeah, I could get on a soapbox about this pretty easily because I think a lot of parents expect the church to be in charge of that part of their children's lives, you know. And so they are always wanting activities for the young people, you know, this and that for the young people. Well, it's fine to show interest in the young people, but the rearing of children is the parents' responsibility primarily. And don't imagine that you're going to be able to let that be done by proxy somehow or another.
Yeah. It's just such an important job that is not getting done. Josh, it's going to mean that we've got to carve out time to do that. Right. And it's easy not to make that time.
Well, and the suggestion is spend the time to be the main spiritual teacher. You know, really, you're going to be the main teacher, either for good or for bad. And, you know, you're going to be raising your children. So if you're a bad example, well, that's what they're going to learn from. Yeah. If you've got a negative attitude about serving God, then you should expect your children.
Let
to
me ask
attitude.
You something, Josh. Can you see your dad in yourself? Can you see characteristics of your dad in yourself?
Sure.
Yeah.
That's who I learned from.
That's right. Because it was especially in those formative years that he was the main influence in your life as a young boy. And that's true for all of us. Now, if our dad for guys, I think it's moms for girls, but if our parents were not the kind of people they should have been, then in those very important formative years, they were setting a bad pattern that it's going to be hard for us to break out of. I've said lots of times, I see my dad in myself in ways that I didn't even like about my dad, because that's just how strong that parental influence is. And parents need to understand that, because notice that spend the necessary time to be the main spiritual teacher of your children. Actually, I think whether you spend the necessary time or not, you will be the main spiritual teacher of your children.
Well, yeah, maybe not a positive spiritual
teacher.
Right,
it won't be positive.
Well, it sort of goes along with what Chris said. He said, wow, I agree 100%. Our children will most certainly be taught about God one way or another. They'll be the one teaching rather than Hollywood, liberal professors, etc.
Yeah.
Well, there you go. Thank you, Chris, for that.
Yeah.
And James in the chat room says, they must see that doing God's will is a joyful thing for their parents. Even in difficult times, we count being obedient as joyful. And he references James 1, 2, and 3. Consider it all joy, my brethren, when you encounter various trials, knowing the testing of your faith produces endurance, and let endurance have its perfect result, so that you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing. And so James gets onto that idea of example as well, is that our kids see that we count it a joyful thing to be able to be servants of God, regardless of the circumstances.
Okay.
All right.
Let's grab our last break, Jacob. We've got 3 points to make. We'll make them pretty fast when we come back and go to the top of the hour.
But time for your phone call at 877-381-4567, your question or your comments at the chat room tonight. Don't go anywhere. Go to the top of the hour right after this.
These guys are doing all of the talking. We need to hear from you. Call in now. The virtual Bible study continues right after this.
Hello, everyone. I'm Britt Haynes. I'm a member of the College View Church of Christ. A lot of people in the religious world today tell us that as long as our heart is right and we truly love God, we can do whatever we want in our service to Him. They say that what we do doesn't matter because God is only interested in our heart. I believe they have it all wrong. True, God is interested in our hearts, but He's also interested in our actions. One reason why is because our actions describe the true condition of our heart. This is what Jesus taught in Matthew 12, verse 34, when he said, "For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh." So I believe that if we are doing whatever we want to in our service and are not serving God exactly like he has asked, then our heart is not right before God. The members of the College View Church of Christ are committed to making sure that both our hearts and our actions are pleasing to God. If you're interested in doing the same, we encourage you to join us for worship this Sunday morning at 9:30 a.m.
We're tracking the trends on the virtual Bible study. College freshmen are a lot less religious than they used to be. In the last 30 years, the number of incoming freshmen who say they are non-religious has tripled. 10% of college freshmen claimed to have no religious preference in 1986. Today, that number has grown to 31%. It includes those who say they are agnostic, 9%, atheist, 6%, or have no religious preference, 16%. That information is via Lifeway Christian Resources. The Word of God says in 1 Timothy 4, verse 8, "For bodily exercise profiteth little, but godliness is profitable unto all things, having promise of the life that now is and of that which is to come."
"For he hath said, I will never leave thee, nor forsake thee, so that we may be as my helper, and I will not fear what man shall do unto me." Hebrews 13, verses 5 and 6. The virtual Bible study continues.
We're back as we go to the top of the hour talking about suggestions for rearing godly children, and certainly have had lots of good suggestions that are scripturally based tonight, and some more to go. Dwight says it all starts at home with raising children. What is being taught at Bible class is important, but parents brought those kids into the world. I think we teach our kids that making money, having a good education, etc., we need to look at teaching them about God as being more important.
That's good.
Yeah, we've got to do that. Dwight, thank you for that good encouragement tonight.
All right, let's go real quickly. We got points 8, 9, and 10. Again, we're not saying this is all-inclusive suggestions for rearing godly children, but we think they're good ones. Number 8, teach them that lying is one of the worst things they could ever do, and punish them firmly if they do. Well, obviously, lying is a big problem. And for some reason, I think even young children are tempted about lying because they're about to get in trouble. You know, it's easy to tell a lie to try to get out of trouble. So I think that's probably one of the early moral challenges that come to parents is about not telling the truth. There'll be lots more moral challenges as kids grow up. But maybe lying is one of the earliest moral dilemmas that parents face.
And it's not cute or funny. It needs to be met with correction. An author references Revelation 21, verse 8. Notice the list here. "But the cowardly, unbelieving, abominable, murderers, sexually immoral, sorcerers, idolaters, and all liars will have their part in the lake of fire, which burns with fire and brimstone, which is the second death." Now, if our kids decided they wanted to be sexually immoral, we'd put it into that right now. Or if they decided they were going to murder their brother or sister, and it gets pretty close to that sometimes. But but lying, that needs to be nipped in the bud just as fast as anything else.
Yeah. And then this point gives us the chance to talk just briefly about child discipline. Discipline is so important. It's one of the really hard parts of parenting is to discipline properly, to know what to do and how much to do and when to do it. It deserves lots of prayerful consideration. But the Proverbs, of course, speak a lot about it. Proverbs 29, verse 15, "The rod and reproof give wisdom, but a child left to himself bringeth his mother to shame." Verse 17, "Correct thy son, and he shall give thee rest. Yea, he shall give delight unto thy soul." That's, first of all, you've got to do it. It's important to discipline them. For their sake and for your sake. If you don't discipline them, they're going to grow up to be unruly and unsubmissive to authority. But also, they're going to grow up to bring you a lot of grief if they weren't disciplined and taught what was right. And so it's a very important subject line. We won't have time to talk about it very much, but the proper discipline of children is really important.
All right. But as stated above, it's important for them to see you be truthful even when it's not pleasant. So Chris says, give them that good example of always being honest, and we certainly have to do that. If they see us not being honest, Josh, then why would we expect them to be anything but dishonest themselves?
Yeah, like we've been talking about how children are sponges, and they're going to follow the example they see. You know, you say things in a certain way, and then they're gonna say that same thing in a certain way. And so if we're living in a certain way, and we're talking about lying, the way we speak and tell untruths, well, they're going to start doing the same thing, just following our example.
Yep. Yeah,
exactly right.
Okay.
The next one's really important. Train them early in principles of modesty, and you won't have to combat short shorts and skinny tops and skinny swimsuits in years to come. The author references a verse that we often talk about, 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 9. In like manner also that women adorn themselves in modest apparel with shamefacedness and sobriety, not with braided hair or gold or pearls or costly array, but which becometh women professing godliness with good works. We've talked on the virtual Bible study before, whole programs on the modesty question. And if you haven't seen those or heard them, you might look in our archives for those. But this point, we don't need to dive off deep into the much broader subject of modesty. But this point is just saying, start training them early in that. Get them instilled. You know, that verse speaks of shamefacedness, and I think that's defined by some lexicographers as respectful timidity. You know, not trying to see how far you can go, how much you can push the envelope, as it were, in regards to the clothes you're wearing, but you have a respectful timidity, a shamefacedness, and that really, you need to instill that in children very early on. Again, if you wait until their mid-teen years, you're going to have a battle on your hand trying to take that back. So start early with them on that. Josh, any thoughts?
Well, we talked about this on the way here about going ahead and starting young with the way that your children dress and get that used to them. So when they see somebody else or they're tempted to wear something, they're going to be ashamed and be too embarrassed to wear something like that because they know that's not the norm. That's not what they've been taught.
Yeah. I think a lot of parents are letting down on this, and I'm suspicious that the reason why some parents let down on this teaching of modesty is because it makes kids different, it makes them look different.
Yeah.
And so many, and unfortunately, a lot of Christian parents don't want their kids to be different.
Yeah.
But stop and think about that for a minute. When you see what's happening with young people in the world today, and what they're doing, the kind of things that they're engaged in, the immorality, the drinking, you just write the list of the things that young people are heavily involved in. And then let me ask you a question. You don't want your kids to be different?
Yeah.
I want my kids to be way different. And so modesty is one of those elements where we can help our kids deal with the fact that they're going to be different. They're going to be different from people in the world.
And it's a good opportunity for something as simple as our dress. I mean, there's going to be lots of things that are going to have to be different, and they're going to have to stand out like a sore thumb on. Why not get them used to that with the way that they dress at a young age when you're there to support them?
Yeah.
Instead of waiting until, oh, well, you're going off to college now. And by the way, while you're there and you're already looking weird because you're not going to be going out drinking and sleeping with your boyfriend or girlfriend, you're going to have to start dressing modestly. And good luck with that, because we'll be 100 miles away. But if there's anything we can do to help, let us know. Give us a call.
Yeah, that won't work.
Yeah.
And again, it's hard to take it back later if you don't teach them starting on. I know when I was a kid, my parents weren't strong on that point, so we hung out at the city park swimming pool all summer long, and you can imagine how people were dressed there. But somewhere along about, I don't know, I must have been 12 or 13. I think my parents developed a conscience about that, which was good. I'm glad they did. And so they said, you can't go to the swimming pool anymore. Oh, that was really hard. Then to take that away, you know, after they'd been letting us do it for so long, then to take that away from us. Thankfully, it worked. In my mind, I think it worked. They were successful in getting me to change my thinking about that too. But I think there's a strong chance it could go a different direction.
Okay. Guest 826 says, how early when dressing, like in diapers covering to the knee or at potty training? Oh, there's some good, there's going to be some judgment calls there. Certainly, you might pull their pants off and change their diaper in public, maybe when they're little, but there's going to be a point where you got to draw that line.
I remember an elder in the church suggesting, you know, when they're out of diapers and when they're past the toddler stage, they're certainly old enough to learn some principles of modesty.
Okay.
But it is, there's some judgment. There's some judgment.
Thanks, 826, for that question tonight.
Dwight in the chat room says, this is just a general good suggestion, I think. Let them hear you say you're sorry when you're wrong. No parents are perfect. I think that's good advice.
Okay.
That's good advice anytime, Dwight. Just if you're wrong, say so, admit it, and move on. I think that's great.
Number 10 tonight.
Number 10, we're just almost out of time. Keep their speech pure by not allowing yourself or them to ever use profanity or even a substitute. And then he mentions some euphemisms. And references Matthew 12:36 about being accountable for every word we speak. That's really important, I think, because again, children are going to learn speech patterns from their parents. What do you say when you hit your thumb with the hammer? What do you say? That's what they're going to say when they hit their thumb with the hammer.
When you're mad, how do you handle it?
Yeah.
When somebody
fly off in a fit of rage, you know, I can't help it. That's just the way I am. Gosh, I just swam. I'm gonna fly off in a fit of rage.
Yeah, I'm the surly dad, and kids just have to figure that out. But they're not gonna be like me.
No, they will be. They will be, right?
Josh.
Hey, I find myself at work getting on to adults for the way they talk. You don't have to use those words in order to get your point across. And if you do, it really, to me, it shows your lack of intelligence of the English language. If you can't get your point across without using expletives, then you don't need to be. You don't need to be talking.
We have a friend. He's up in his 80s now, but he was in the Navy. He wasn't a Christian. He was in the Navy, and he said he cussed like a sailor. Literally cussed like a sailor. He cussed all the time. Every sentence he said had a cuss word in it, and he said somebody challenged him. He wasn't even a Christian yet. They said, I think the reason you use all those cuss words is you're just not intelligent enough to express yourself without using cuss words. He said it shocked him when that fellow said that to him, and he made up his mind right then and there. He wasn't going to use those words anymore. But, it's a hard habit to break if you allow yourself to get in it, and then your kids are going to say, sometimes you hear little kids saying some pretty bad stuff. You wonder, where did they? Well, they heard it from their parents, or their parents are letting them watch TV or something on the internet that they shouldn't be watching. And they're picking up those speech patterns.
Yes, because they're learning the vocabulary, and they're going to start saying what they hear. Chris says, agreed, and again, they must see this in our lives. When I was much younger, over 20 years ago, and still a babe in the faith, I learned this the hard way. I was home alone with my daughter, who had not learned to speak that long ago. I spilled some juice all over the carpet and let a curse word out. It wasn't 1.5 seconds later I heard that innocent child say what I had just said. That taught me a lesson that I will never forget.
Exactly. Good, Chris. I think that's really true.
Yeah, certainly.
But good for you that you had a sensitive heart, that mattered to you, because I think to a lot of people today it doesn't matter. And I've even heard people laugh about little kids using bad words. That's not funny, and we don't want to do that.
No. All right. Well, Josh, I've learned some things tonight, been encouraged.
Yeah, got a lot of work to do.
Yes, we do. We do. All right.
Josh and his wife, Kristen, are going to have a baby here in a few weeks, and so you get to take the challenge.
A challenge. Yes, it will be a challenge. All right. Well, Dad, thank you for a good discussion.
Thanks, Jake.
Josh, thanks for being here.
Thanks for having me.
And thank you for joining us on the other end of the line tonight, and we encourage your comments at any time or suggestions for future editions of the Virtual Bible Study, questions@collegeu.com. Make plans to be back here this time next week for another edition of the Virtual Bible Study. And in the meantime, we encourage you to put God first in your life, study His inspired Word, the Bible, and live by it every day. You'll never regret it.
Thanks for listening to the Virtual Bible Study, brought to you by the College View Church of Christ. The College View Church of Christ meets at 1618 Hampshire Pike in Columbia, Tennessee. If you are in the Columbia, Tennessee area, we encourage you to worship with the College View Church of Christ on Sunday mornings at 9:30 and on Sunday evenings at 6 o'clock. The College View Church of Christ also welcomes you to attend their Wednesday night Bible studies at 7 o'clock. If you have any questions about something that was said on tonight's broadcast or would like more information about the College View Church of Christ, please call 931-381-4567. That number again, 931-381-4567. Or for more information on the internet, visit collegeview.com. Be sure to tune into the Virtual Bible Study this time next Thursday for another informative study of God's Word.